Hey guys, and welcome to the Bright and Fit podcast. I'm so excited to be here. I'm your host, Tatiana, money and fitness professional and everyday energizer bunny. From health, wellness, and everyday life challenges and topics, the Bright and Fit podcast will discuss interesting and fun ways to reinvent ourselves at any age. I hope you can join me. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Bright and Fit podcast. I'm your host and friend, Tatiana, and today is episode 4. We are going to be speaking about mental health. It is May 2021, and it's the Mental Health Month. I wanted to speak about a couple of items in the agenda in regards to Mental Health Month, specifically because of my interest in this topic. I wanted to bring some awareness and I wanted to give you guys some insight, some opinion, some statistics, and some tips. Today's podcast is episode number 4. And we're going to be speaking about anxiety and depression during COVID-19. So, according to the American Psychological Association, APA, anxiety is an emotion characterized by feelings of tension, worried thoughts, and physical changes like increased blood pressure. People with anxiety disorders usually have recurrent intrusive thoughts or concerns. They may avoid certain situations out of worry. They may also have physical symptoms such as sweating, trembling, dizziness, or a rapid heartbeat. Depression is more than just sadness. People with depression may experience a lack of interest and pleasure in daily activities, significant weight loss or gain, insomnia or excessive sleeping, lack of energy, inability to concentrate, feelings of worthlessness or excessive guilt, and recurrent thoughts of death or suicide. Depression is the most common mental disorder. Fortunately, depression is treatable. A combination of different items is sure to help ensure recovery. I was actually researching online in regards to COVID-19 and how it has affected our community. I have felt obviously the symptoms of not COVID-19, but what the impact that it has caused me personally during the pandemic. COVID-19 has multiple symptoms that we know to look out for. Things like shortness of breath, fever, cough, and fatigue. But now we're also starting to understand the side effects of this virus and pandemic on us as a society. Cases of anxiety and depression are on the rise across the United States, and we are not immune. According to a top news on 10 Tampa Bay, top story of May 9, 2020, everyone's affected by COVID in some way, shape, or form, regardless if you've had it or if you know someone who's had it. The effects of it have impacted people. Of course, that's going to affect their mental health, said Dr. Ryan Wagoner, the vice chair for clinical services and a psychiatrist in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Neurosciences at the University of South Florida. The impact on mental health is being seen across all ages and races. Some of the cases are being found because patients come in for other medical concerns, he shares. Anxiety and depression affected half of the population across all ages, no matter the health background. Higher rates of anxiety at primary care facilities registered 10% of regular population had anxiety and depression in 2019. 30% has increased during COVID-19. According to a USF health report on anxiety and depressive disorder during COVID-19 by age, shows that people from 18 to 24 years old had suffered 56.2% of the effect of anxiety and depression during the pandemic. 25 to 49 years old, 48.9%. 50 to 64 years old, 39.1%. And 65 years old and plus, 29.3%. The highest number is for people 18 to 24 years old, 56.2%, and 25 to 49 years old, 48.9%, which is, to my opinion, the majority of the population. The doctor shares that due to how drastic their lives have changed socially, people in the age of 18 to 24 years old are the more affected. A survey by the Deeper Dive Show shows that 35% of adults 18 to 29 years old won't get the vaccine. Another poll from Stats Harris shows 21% of Gen X won't get the vaccine. In another poll of Stat Harris, 34% of Gen X will wait and see what happens. Another news on PBS NewsHour, released on May 9, 2021. Judy Woodruff, a mental health representative, speaks on young people. Risk of youth suicide is being exacerbated. There's a story about a young man named Toby Gard. He lived in West Denver, Colorado, a ski town freshman, who his mom shares that was into sports. He was very active, but when school closed, he didn't know what to do. He lost his connection to society because his connection was through his lacrosse team. His mother, Heather Gard, says that April 2020, he committed suicide by bathtub submersion after saying, "I don't know what to do anymore." Lisa Horowitz, a clinical psychologist on the National Institute of Mental Health, states that the risk factors are isolation and social contact cut off from people. The CDC states that before the pandemic, anxiety and depression was the second leading cause of death among people from 10 to 24 years old. But this has increased more than 50% now, between the difference between 2007 and 2017 stats. Tia Dolla Schiff, clinical operations officer for the Trevor Project, which is an LGBT suicide prevention organization, talks that lesbian, gay, bisexual teens were three times likely to have suicidal thoughts than their heterosexual peers prior to the pandemic. Kathy Hoffman, an Arizona superintendent, says that students are devastated by the loss of peers and social life. Arizona youth suicide has been the highest through the years in youth from 10 to 24 years old. Lisa Horowitz speaks again about what to say to your children. And she says, teach your children what to do when you experience failure. Teach them how depression feels like. Teach them what anxiety feels like. Parents can teach their children about preventing a suicide. Parents believe it is a taboo to even mention the word suicide. Lisa says that the number one myth of suicide is that talking to someone about suicide can put the idea in their head, and that is entirely untrue. Ask a young person or any person, do you want to hurt yourself? And listen to the answer. and the answer really, really is important to listen to it. Sometimes the answer is scary, but advise them that suicide is not an option. The mental health of parents really affects kids, and we have to turn pain into purpose. According to another article from the American Psychological Association dated April 16, 2020, the psychological impact of COVID-19, note the signs of anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and suicide, finding local mental health resources during the COVID-19 crisis. The novel coronavirus is causing major interruptions in our lives. This disruption, coupled with the threat of contracting this potentially deadly virus, is leading many people to experience anxiety, stress, and depression. The coronavirus pandemic is an epidemiological and psychological crisis. The enormity of living in isolation, changes in our daily lives, job loss, financial hardship, and grief over the death of loved ones, has the potential to affect the mental health and well-being of many. Even in this time of physical distancing, it's critical to seek social support and connection with others. It's also important to know the signs of anxiety, panic attacks, depression, and suicide, so you can easily identify them, not just among your family, friends, and neighbors, but for yourself. Do you know the signs of anxiety? I know that personally, this is a very touchy topic for me. I have experienced anxiety in many different times of my life. From remembering when being young and being in school and just the anxiety of knowing that I have to take a test the next day, it was nerve-wracking. The anxiety of, as I've spoken before in prior episodes, the anxiety of leaving my country and moving to another country on my own. The anxiety of changes in life, like the anxiety of getting married and the anxiety of having a child and giving birth to a child, raising a child. The anxiety of considering what I'm going to do about my professional life. And this is just a few examples of just daily life. During the pandemic, there's way more cases of anxiety and people that didn't even recognize that that was anxiety. Signs of anxiety, according to the American Psychological Association. Signs of anxiety: persistent worry of feeling overwhelmed by emotions. Excessive worry about a number of concerns such as health problems or finances, and a general sense that something bad is going to happen. Restlessness or irritability. Difficulty concentrating, sleep problems, and generally feeling on edge. Now, it all correlates with not knowing what's going to happen. And since March 2020, this is basically how I personally feel like we all have been feeling around us. We did not know what was going to happen. We did not know where this came from. And we didn't know exactly how long this was going to take. Signs of a panic attack: sweating, trembling, shortness of breath, or a feeling of choking. A pounding heart or rapid heart rate, and feelings of dread. Such attacks often happen suddenly without warning. People who experience panic attacks often become fearful about when the next episode will occur, which can cause them to change or restrict their normal activities. There's a majority of people, a big amount of people that I know, that secluded themselves during the pandemic, whether it was for protection of not knowing what was going on, or simply because they knew that the virus is a component of many things that we do not know at the time what it was about, and they had a compromised immune system. an example of this is my neighbors. They are older, and they are very, they're from a different culture, from a different country. And I saw how I used to see them sitting down outside and just enjoying the breeze every afternoon, to not see them for weeks, not even saying hello. Signs of depression: a lack of interest and pleasure in daily activities, significant weight loss or gain, insomnia or excessive sleeping, lack of energy or an inability to concentrate, feelings of worthlessness or excessive guilt, recurrent thoughts of death and suicide. I know that depression is one of the biggest components of anxiety and panic attacks, when you feel that dreading feeling of not making sense, and almost like all signs of social experience had vanished. Risk factors for suicide: talking about dying or harming oneself, recent loss through death, divorce, separation, even loss of interest in friends, hobbies, and activities previously enjoyed. Changes in personality like sadness, withdrawal, irritability, or anxiety. Changes in behavior, sleep patterns, and eating habits. Erratic behavior, harming self or others. Low self-esteem, including feelings of worthlessness, guilt, or self-hatred. No hope for the future, believing things will never get better or nothing will change. So very recently, I had posted on social media a question, and my question was basically saying, let's talk pandemic stress. Describe in one word your level of anxiety and depression during the pandemic. Are you feeling better? How do you cope? A lot of my friends and family and just acquaintances said, I can't describe it with one word. It's a full range of emotions and a mix of emotions per se. One of my friends said, freaking out. I asked why. And my friend said, anxiety to hear the word COVID at the beginning. I would feel short of breath. Now I feel more in control because now I have more resources. Another person said, awake. Things that I was not aware of had definitely seemed to have a path that's a clear path to me. Another person said, no international traveling, no big parties, equals sadness. Another person shared, incredible. Now I feel like I have the wisdom to see and know the difference and have choices about the situation with COVID-19 and make sound judgment by not putting emotions over making a sound decision. That's very interesting. Another friend stated trepidation. Trepidation is a feeling of fear, agitation about something that may happen. My friend felt uneasy, and my friend said, if we weren't so divided in our views, I would feel in a better spot mentally. At the beginning, it was also new. I had this constant feeling, this constant flux of many emotions. I felt agitation, puzzlement, elation, optimism. And now my way of coping is using my brain, rely on science and common sense and humor. Another person shared fear of being infected and die. Only faith helped. Another person said exhausted. I now give myself permission to do whatever I need from day to day. I remove myself from the things that drain my energy, even if those things are things that I enjoy, but in order to make the best of every situation, I remove myself from it. I forgive myself for not always being at my best. Another person shared loneliness. I had this deep longing for family that I couldn't see. Yes, we talked on the phone, we Skyped, with email, we share things on Facebook, but not the same. And we were only doing it to stay healthy. Another person said angry, frustration. This led to depression for me. Now I'm diving into things that bring most happiness, people that do the same. Another person shared fragile emotionally. I feel like things were out of my control, so I felt more vulnerable, fragile. Another person shared reflective, thoughtful, humbling. I want to not only share some topic that is of a lot of people's interest, and it's a very touchy topic, and I'm not a professional. If you are feeling anxious, depressed, if you feel like you're having a panic attack, if you feel like you have, you feel at risk of suicide, please speak with a professional. Now, if you're anxious or worried, increased anxiety is common as we navigate COVID-19 and its broad consequences. Patient care and uncertainty about health outcomes, finances, childcare, travel, and scheduled events are highly stressful. Action is one of the best treatments for anxiety, depression, and panic attacks. Share your concerns and problems, solve with colleagues, clinical team members, family, and friends to plan coping steps. These are some coping steps that, again, the American Psychological Association shares in this article on April 16, 2020. Pace yourself. Monitor yourself for disrupted sleep, excessive fatigue, irritability, poor focus, and marked anxiety. If we run on empty, we can't care for our patients, for our families, our communities, for our coworkers, for our children. Breathe. Try mindful breathing several times a day. Take a moment for low and slow breaths before getting out of the car. When you enter your work area or when you're going to attend an event. Breathing helps us to calm down and improves our concentration. Maintain good health habits. Please exercise, people. As stress and demands increase, our health habits often take a hit. You may bring your meals to work to maximize healthy eating. You should limit alcohol. Try to get enough sleep. Prioritize working out and exercise, and get some sunlight. Exercise. Exercise is vital for stress reduction. Consider walking, biking, running, and hiking, or just throwing a frisbee or a ball, as well as exercise and yoga. Guys, for those who know me, the Bright and Fit podcast is based on my brand, The Bright and Fit. I'm a fitness professional. I teach several different formats at different gyms. I'm located in Florida. And if you would like to connect with me, you can always share your questions and concerns via email to Bright, B-R-I-G-H-T, letter N, F-I-T, fit1@gmail.com. I would like to talk to you. The next tip is connect, and connect again. Reach out to family, friends, colleagues, and your favorite community groups for social contact. You can call, FaceTime, Zoom, Skype, or try Google Hangouts to reduce your isolation. meaningful and fun connection. Emotional support and healthy problem solving are vital to your health and well-being. Consider joining another family or friend for a meal by social media to reduce isolation for everyone. Take breaks at work and at home. You can take mini breaks, even a 10-minute walk during one of your shifts is calming and improves vital energy and focus. Plan downtime at home. Exercise, a good book, a movie, or a podcast, the Bright and Fit podcast, of course. Games with your family in a mindfulness technique. All this mindfulness techniques help us refuel physically and emotionally. Promote teamwork. If you have children or relatives who need care, you have to be a leader. Ask if your work will allow you to develop a plan to assist your family with family responsibilities. Maintain structure at home. If you or your children are working from home, establish a consistent workspace to help with focus and productivity. Plan breaks as well. Flexibility is essential. Increased demand of social distancing and other unique stresses will test our flexibility and adaptability. It is okay. It's important to know that help is available. I want to make sure you guys know that there are many, many resources out there. If you or a loved one is having thoughts of suicide, call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. The number is 1-800-273-8255 or dial 911. There are other resources that I wanted to share with you. The Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, known by its letters SAMHSA, can also help. 1-800-662-HELP. The National Alliance on Mental Illness. The National Alliance of Mental Illness is a national mental health organization that offers a free hotline with trained specialists that can provide information, resources, and referrals for those who need mental health assistance. Call 1-800-950-NAMI, N-A-M-I. Also, the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry is always able to help. It helps provide helpful resources for working with your children and teens during this crisis. The American Academy of Pediatrics also offers website advice on how to care for your family and yourself during the coronavirus pandemic. It also includes tips on schooling your children while you work from home. The website is available in English and Spanish. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The CDC is obviously the government agency that it is the forefront of dealing with COVID-19. It also has on the website offers resources to help with mental health effects and tips for the pandemic. United Way. United Way supports 211, a free and confidential service that helps people across North America find the local resources 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The hotline is only dialing 211, and the services include local mental health support, finding food, paying for housing, accessing free childcare, and other essential services. Guys, I want to encourage you to seek for help. If you feel anxious, depressed, if you feel like you're having panic attacks, talk to someone, talk to a friend, send me a message, send me an email. Talk to a professional. Make an appointment. I hope that you guys found some insight in this recording. And as always, we will continue bringing topics of your interest. And I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast as much as I did. And have a wonderful day. Talk to you soon. Tatiana.